All right, we'll begin. We are back in Sanhedrin. I know that we've done that a bunch of times. Yeah, we can have half of the source sheets. I didn't print enough of the Korot because it's 2 pages. But that's okay. We can start with the Gemara, and then if we get to the Korot, we can figure out how to do it. Okay. So we're in Sanhedrin Perek Metzora Mora, which we've been in for the last several shiurim. But we're bringing it to pretty much to a close. We may have one more shiur to squeeze out of this, because there's so many topics on this last daf. It's worth it to do the whole parak just to get to this daf. Ayin Dalid. This is the daf with all the Yarei Gal Yavor stuff, amongst other things. So almost every line in here could be unpacked for an entire shiur. But we don't have time for an entire shiur per line, so we'll try to fit as much as we can in as possible. So we're in the Gemara. The Gemara that you should be looking at is the longer part. Is the part that gets wide. That's Amud Aleph. It's Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph over there. Hi, Meir. And we'll start with the two dots. So the two dots are in the middle, about I'd say 10 lines into the wide lines, where it says Avala Rode Fachar Behema. It says Tanya. Rashbi Omer Haoved Avodat Kachavim Nitan Hatzilo B'Nafsho Mikal V'Chomer U'Mapigam Hedyot Nitan Hatzilo B'Nafsho. The beginning of the line says Shematzilat Chaviro Miyad Rodev. There you go. Yeah. So Tanya Rashem Bar Yochai Omer. Oh, this keeps reconnecting and disconnecting. Don't have such good reception over here. No, we do. We have good reception. Okay. Avod avodas kachavim nitan latzilo b'nafsho mikal v'chomer ma pagam hedyot nitan latzilo b'nafsho pagam gavah l'kol shekein. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, he's trying to explain the principle that we already learned in the Mishnah. This is a halacha that we saw in the Mishnah, that if somebody is going to do avodas kachavim, you're allowed to stop them from doing it even at the expense of their life. In other words, you would kill somebody and not let somebody do avodas kachavim. The Mishnah just said that, okay? And it said nitan hatzilo b'nafsho, which leads to a machlokes rishonim a little bit about how exactly this thing works. Is it that you're saving him, or is it that it's such a severe avera that you're allowed to kill him before he does it? That's a machlokes rishonim. Either way, the Gemara has Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai give an explanation for it, which is rare. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai gives an explanation. He says it's a kal v'chomer. If pegam hedyot nitan lahatzilo b'nafsho, what's pegam hedyot? Over here it's talking about if somebody was going to do gilui arayot. Okay, so we know the halacha is if somebody's going to do gilui arayot, which is going to cause a pegam, it's going to cause a blemish on his familial and marital record, so we stop him by saving his life. So for sure, pegam gavoa, if you're going to do something that's going to affect God, so to speak, now obviously nothing can really affect God, but if you're going to do something that's going to do, yeah, it's going to cause a chil Hashem, so then for sure, you're allowed to stop it. Or kol shekein, exactly. This is not cool. It's got messed up. Let's see. I'm going to turn on my Wi-Fi, but I'm not going to connect to yours, obviously.
This is a good sign.
What's wrong? What?
It may just mean that so many people are tuning in that you brought YouTube down.
Brought YouTube down. Yeah.
You never know.
Is it working? Right.
I'm going to try. It should be. I see that I have bars. It's weird. This is going live.
Yeah,
share again.
Come on. Go on, I'll try the Wi-Fi.
And then try again. Still recording, so it's not a big deal. Try again. Alright. Okay, let's continue. So we're just explaining Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's kal v'chomer, that if you're going to stop somebody at the expense of his life for pegam hedyot, meaning to stop somebody from ruining their own life, either through some kind of gilui arayot or even murder, so for sure for God. So then the Gemara says, but wait a second, there's a problem with that. It's a very mundane problem. It says, v'chi onshin min hadin? But we don't usually give an onesh min hadin. What does that mean? It means that our onshim, our punishments, are usually learned directly from a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah will say, you're not allowed to do this, and if you do, here's the punishment. That's the punishment. This seems to be saying, okay, we know that
for the avera of either murder or gila ariot, you're allowed to kill somebody. So kavachomer, you're allowed to do something like that for avodah zarah. It may be a good kavachomer, but we are not onesh min adin. If we know that the punishment for, let's say, chilul shabbat is one thing, and then we posited that somehow that, you know, gila ariot is worse than chilul shabbat. Let's say we said that. So then for sure gila ariot should be the same, at least as bad of a punishment. We don't do that. That's not a kavachomer that we make. We're not ochin min adin. Kavachomer is a useful tool, but it cannot be used for establishing punishments. So how can Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai say that that's the rule over here? Now, that's a very interesting point. How would you argue with that, by the way? The Gemara is not going to, but how would you argue with that? What would you point out in order to argue with that question? Well, how is this described, right? Matzilin oto b'nafsho. What's the implication?
You're not punishing.
It's not a punishment. It's not a punishment. By the way, either way, it's probably not a punishment. Even if you don't assume that you're just trying to save his, you know, save him from sinning, it could be that, you know, it's such a severe sin we cannot allow it to happen. Not necessarily that we're punishing him. That seems to be what it's assuming, but it doesn't feel like that. You know, there's no, you don't require hatra'a over here. You don't require so many other things. You don't need to aid him or anything like that. You just go out and you do it. So it seems very strange. But the Gemara doesn't go that route. It goes a different route. It says, actually, thank you. The idea that in onshim min adin is not muskam upon everybody; it's not unanimous. And in fact, the Gemara wants to argue kasever onshim min adin. That Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is one of the opinions that says onshim min adin. So he can say this. He can say this because he believes that you are allowed to give an onesh based on logic. Fine. Next piece. Tani Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer hamachalala to Shabbat nitan hatzilo benafsho. You see this? Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says that you're allowed to kill somebody if they're about to be mechalel Shabbat. And we don't pass them like this. In fact, the Gemara in Yuma gives about 8 different explanations by different Amorayim and Tanayim about why we don't. And in fact, one of them is the one that we're going to see right now, but the Gemara in Yuma, you should know, just makes a whole to-do about it, gives different explanations. And the Gemara says, over here, so he says, you know how he gets this? He gets this from a gezer shava between avodas kochavim, meaning avodas zara, and chilul shabbat. It says chilul here, it says chilul there. So just like you're allowed to kill somebody before he's before he does avodas zara, you're allowed to kill somebody before he's mechalel shabbat. That's the extent of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon's argument. It's not going to hold water, I can tell you now. I don't think, yeah. We'll see one of the explanations for that in a few seconds. But in general, we don't pass in this way, obviously. We do not hold Shabbat, you know, Pikuach Nefesh is Rosh Shabbat. So being Mechalel Shabbat is not an excuse to kill somebody. Good? At least not before he does it. Now here's the famous part. Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Shimon Bar Yotzadak, Nimnu V'gamru Ba'aliyat Beit Nitzeh Belod. They counted and they established in the attic of the house of Nitzeh in the town of Lod the following. Kol averot shebatorah im omrim la'adam avor ve'al tiharig, ya'avor ve'al yiharig. Chutz me'avor kochavim v'gidariyat v'shichut damim. So as they establish in this attic that the rule is going to be that all mitzvot in the Torah, if you're given the option of either dying, being killed, or doing the Avera, you do the Avera. Except for the following three.
Why is it important for us to know exactly where this discussion took place?
That's a great question.
In an attic, in somebody's house, in his attic, in Lod. We're getting very specific. Why do I care where?
I don't have a good answer for exactly why where. However, the scholars, and the Magal Yesayam, and the later Achronim, they all assume that the reason why we're being told this information and we're told the context, because it must be, I mean, think about this for a second. The names here is Rav Yochanan, okay? This is pretty late, Rav Yochanan. This is, I mean, he's a Tana, but it's pretty late. It seems like the kind of thing that should have been decided a long time ago, no?
Well, it depends on the circumstances, maybe. Well, some of the things then, the three things that they're possible.
Right.
Right.
So the Achronim all assume that this was pretty much a game time decision. In other words, it was there were decrees at that exact moment. The reason why they were gathering in this attic was to decide, we are being oppressed right now. We're going through a Roman persecution at the moment. We need to decide what are the rules.
And this is so one of the hiding places.
Talks about this.
Yeah.
In his book, the Chachamim.
Right.
And he says the reason they mention all these details is because Rabbi Akiva wasn't there. And Rabbi Akiva.
Is it only Rabbi Akiva? Because there's other people.
And the
there
other ones
weren't
there. He says, yeah. Rabbi Akiva. How different is he? He held, you can be martyred for other reasons.
Right.
He actually wouldn't have agreed or didn't agree with this psak, and they kind of overruled him.
Well, there are other rules that we're going to see. Not sure exactly if it's clear that they were all established in the Aliyah, but at least it says
was accepted this psak.
As the three mitzvot that without any other conditions we say you can never do them, even Yarg Val Yabor, are these three. And it seems the Achronim assumed that it was they had to decide this because it was happening. And that's why they did it.
The Aliyah Gag suggests the hiding, or...
What?
The Aliyah Gag suggests the hiding.
No, there's a lot of places where they go into attics. It doesn't seem to be that they're hiding. This is the place, kind of place they used to meet.
We have other
Makes sense.
There are other places where they meet in attics. But either way, so they established that these are the three. Now, these are the three, and there are no others. So the Gemara says, now where do we get these three? So they say, So the Gemara's actually, its first issue is Avodas Kochavim. Is it really the case that you're not allowed to do Avodas Zarah even on the pain of death? V'hatanya, there's a bright Amar Bishmal, Minayin Shem Amru Lola Adam Avod Avodas Kochavim V'al Taharig, Minayin Shem Avod, Yavod V'al Yaharig. Rabbi Shmuel didn't seem to be in on this. Rabbi Shmuel said that you should do Avodah Zarah and not be killed. Talmud Lomar, sorry, Rabbi Shmuel says you might think that would be the case. Talmud Lomar v'chai behem v'lo she'emut behem. That's how you know that you're supposed to live.
But that's the same answer for all three.
That's the answer for all
everything
the,
else.
The 610. 611, I guess, yeah. According to Rabbi Shmuel.
Right, but it can include, it can be 612.
Right, good. V'chai ben, v'lo she'emut ben, yachal afilu b'farhet. So what's Rabbi Shmuel saying? Rabbi Shmuel is saying that he's only talking about Avodah Zarah, and he says, how do I know that even Avodah Zarah you're allowed to do if somebody threatens you? He says, it says v'chai ben. Now, he's not talking about the other two mitzvot, and we'll have to talk about whether or not he agrees or disagrees with the other two. But for now, he's talking about Avodah Zarah. And he quotes V'chai Behem, which is the pasuk that we're going to use for the other 610 mitzvot. Right? So that's we still use his basis, even if we don't agree with this conclusion. So he says, V'nayin sha'a im amru lo'ladam ha'abod avodas kam v'yal taharik, V'nayin sha'a avod v'al yaharik, Tamalabu V'chai Behem, lo she'imut behem, should live with them and not die with them. Yo'achal afilu b'farhesya. Maybe this is the case even of doing Avodah Zarah in public, Tamalomar, V'lo tachalu ha'chem kodshi v'nikdashti. So he says that it only goes so far. That can be in private that you're going to do Avodah Zarah and you're not going to be killed. But when it comes to doing it in public, that's a whole different story because then you're talking about Chilul Hashem.
What does Inhu mean?
Say again?
Inhu.
Inhu is they. Inhu da'amar, it's part of the next statement.
Oh.
Inhu da'amar. So I keep losing the place. I don't know why. Inu da'amar, inu da'amar, Rabbi Lazar, the Tanya Rabbi Lazar, Omer, v'hafta. So Rabbi Yishmael disagrees, but inu da'amar, meaning those in the attic, they were following in the path of Rabbi Lazar. What did Rabbi Lazar? What did he say? The Tanya Rabbi Lazar, Omer, v'hafta, Hashem Elokecha, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol ma'odecha. You have to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mode. Im nomar b'chol nafshecha, lama namar b'chol ma'odecha. If we already know that you have to love Him with all your life, meaning even at the pain of death, we have to love Him with your life, even if you're being threatened to die. Why mention the money? B'chol ma'odecha is assumed to be money. Im nomar b'chol ma'odecha, lama namar b'chol nafshecha. If you know that you have to serve Him with all your money, then why mention that? Im yesh cha adam sheguf v'chav v'lav ma'amono, l'kach ne'amar b'chol nafshecha. Im yesh cha adam sheguf v'chav v'lav ma'amono, l'kach ne'amar b'chol nafshecha. Tell you that depending on how a person orients his life, if he's more interested in his money or if he's more interested in his life, so whichever way, you have to serve God even to that extent. You have to be willing to give up your life or your money before you do Avodah Zarah.
specifically it's his soul. It's whether someone's more physical or more spiritual, both ways, in other words. It's catch you on...
Nefesh is your life. Nefesh is your life. It's not your soul. In this case. No, there are people who money is more important to them than their lives. Their legacy. Their material wealth, their house, their legacy, maybe.
I just was like, through their physical being and with their spiritual being. In other words, both ways, whether you're more physical or more spiritual, both ways, you've got to give it up.
Yeah. By the way, you know, we think it's funny, but you know, there are people who are willing to give up their life for, if it's not money, then it could be ideals or it could be both at the same time. You know, imagine 100%, for sports, you know, people have all kinds of things, some of them more legitimate than others. Imagine somebody who's being, you know, who owns a mom and pop grocery store, and somebody comes in threatening, and they want him to empty the cash register. He says, no, not going to do it, right? Now, at the end of the day, and then he gets shot for it. At the end of the day, what did he get shot for?
For his money.
For money, right? But we kind of understand him, right? There's more to it than just that. Okay. So, the market says, Gilar Ayot V'Shichut Amim. So we understood now Avodah Zarah. It's all based on Va'avta Hashem. Now, what about the other two? Gilar Ayot U'Shvichut Amim. Kid the Rebbe. They hold like Rebbe. The Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Rabbi Yonasi says, Ki kasha yakum ish al re'eu, rutzacha o nefesh, kein hadavar hazeh. So, just like the halacha of when somebody gets up to kill somebody else, so too is this halacha. Now, what does that mean? So too is what halacha? What's it talking about? Does Rashi tell us, or we have to look in the context? Don't remember. Rashi says, no, Rashi doesn't say anything. Kene Davar Hazeh refers to the previous thing, which is the attack on the Na'ara Ma'orasa, okay, which is a form of Gilar Ayot, so a woman who's been betrothed. In other words, somebody went to go sleep with a woman who was betrothed, that's Gilar Ayot. So the Torah itself makes a connection between murder and sleeping with a Na'ara Ma'orasa, Kene Davar Hazeh. So the Gemara says, what's the connection? It works both ways. You learn from one to the other, and vice versa. So they say that just like you're allowed to stop a rapist, a man who's going after a woman, even by killing him, so too you're allowed to stop a rodef, you're allowed to stop a murderer, an attempted murderer, even by killing him. That's one side of the equation. It works the other way as well. If you are the perpetrator, if you're the murderer, you should know that if somebody puts a gun to your head and says, kill him, kill Reuven, or I'm going to kill you, so you're Hag Val Yavor. And from there you learn that also, if someone says, sleep with her, or else I'm going to kill you, so also you're Hag Val Yavor. It works both ways. You learn this halacha to that one, and that halacha to this one. Okay. So now, what's remaining though? We have to figure out what's the basis for each one. So we're not going to talk about Matzilin B'Nafsho because we talked about that already. Now we're talking about Yehar Gval Yavor. In other words, what we need to know now is if the chain goes from Ritzicha to Gilar Ayot, then we need to establish Ritzicha. Fine. Once you have the Rotzeach, that's Yarg Val Yavor, Shvichut Damim is Yarg Val Yavor, so then we can get to Gilar Ayot. We have to establish Shvichut Damim is Yarg Val Yavor, so we have to do that. We haven't done that yet. So now we're going to do that right now. So Rotzeach Gufei Minala. Rotzeach itself. Where do we get that from? How do you know that a Rotzeach is Yarg Val Yavor? Svaro. What? Why not? What do you mean?
You can't say you should allow it to happen because we're intended to live with that, you know, we should live with the mitzvah because it involves the death of somebody.
Of somebody else.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So let's see the Gemara, and you tell me. Let's see the Gemara, and you tell me if you think that's what the Gemara is saying. So Matthew, you want to say that we're cutting out the legs of the v'chai behem, and therefore what, we go back to the default or something? You have to figure that out, by the way. Right. So you're saying since you're going to be killing somebody else, so v'chai behem definitely doesn't apply because why should you? take precedence up. Now you're saying something else, right?
Yeah.
So now the Gemara is going to say, Svarahu, it's a Svarah. Dehauda, Telekami de Rabba, Vamali, Amali, Mari, Durai, Zil, Kotel, Panya. This happened. Someone came to Rabba and said, the mayor told me that I have to kill somebody else. Bilo, Katlina Lech. He said he's going to kill me if I don't do it. He came for a psak. Amalei, Likdaluch, Lo Tikto. He told him, sorry, you know you were hoping for a lenient psak. If you want a lenient psak, go to a different rabbi. But I'm going to tell you the truth. My truth is, you have to be killed. Mm-hmm. Who said that your blood is redder than his? Maybe his blood is redder than yours. So now we establish that shvichus damim is yargla yavor, and by extension, gilei arayos. Avodah zara we establish from the vaavta at Hashem Elokecha. Now, Kiyata Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came, Amar Rav Yochan lo shanu ela shelo b'shas gzeres ha-malchus. B'shas gzeres ha-malchus, afilu mitzakala hergval yavor. They added on to what they said in the attic of Lud. Say, all that stuff, that was all these three mitzvot on their own without any other conditions. However, if it's b'shat shmad, meaning the government has said you're not allowed to do certain mitzvot, then afilu mitzakala hergval yavor. Then the threshold goes lower. Any mitzvah is Yerag Val Yavor.
Who knows what a mitzvah kala is?
It's saying any mitzvah. It's saying any mitzvah. We're going to go even lower than a mitzvah kala in a second. Kiyata Ravin, Amar Rav Yochanan, Afilu B'Shalo B'Shas Yerag Val Yavor, Lo Amar Ela B'Tzina, Avu B'Farhesi Afilu Mitzvah Kala Yerag Val Yavor. So the Gemara says, and I'll give you another condition. So besides for the big three, and besides for Gezeras Shmad, there's also Farhesia, which we saw a little bit before in Rabbi Ishmael, that Farhesia apparently is going to raise the level of every Aveira. Doing any Aveira in Farhesia, establish what that is soon, is going to be Hergval Yav.
Is it Farhesia because it's Hatra?
No, it's because it's public and it's going to be a Chilul Hashem.
Is Rabbi Yochanan disagreeing with those in the
attic? No, Lo Shanu Ela. Lo Shanu Ela means I'm adding on.
So they would have agreed.
For all we know, it was said in the attic. I don't know. That's what I said before. I don't know whether it was said in the attic, but it's adding on. Now, the Gemara asks my father's question. Amar Rabba Bar Yitzchak, Amar Rav. Well, doesn't ask the question, just answers it. Afilu l'shinuye arkata d'masana. Even to change shoelaces. Arkata d'masana is shoelaces. Now, what does that mean?
Tie shoelaces up the right way.
So good. So Rashi says that there's a certain way of Jews of tying their shoelaces.
Uh-huh.
Right? That there's some kind of style that they used to do. Maybe one of them was more tsanua than the other, but it just seems to be a style. I don't know. They were Boy Scouts. We went to a different Boy Scout troop than they did.
I don't get it the same way.
The tariff of the kachabim to tie it. So you have to tie a different one.
Yeah. That's not what this is. That's not what this is. Right, but that's not what this is. This is
dafka not to do it like the other day.
This is the kesher. This is the knot itself. Yeah, the knot itself. Shem derech ha'ov de kachabim v'kshor kach v'derech Yisrael b'inyan acher. Some kind of more tanua way of doing it. Tosos says it's dafka the color. Tosos says it's he points out that we have a record of this. Masani uchmi below rami chuti. There's they used to wear black shoelaces. No, us.
I still have black shoelaces.
No, sorry, you're right. Rabbi Natan says the non-Jewish ones were black.
Uh-oh.
And the Jewish ones were white. It's apparently machlokas. Machlokas about whether we have the black ones or the white ones. But the point being, the point though, at the root of this is that it's even less than a mitzvah kala. Any minhag, any Jewish practice that they try to put an end to it because it's Jewish, we have to uphold it.
You know,
even on pain of death. Anytime they're trying to make us violate the Torah. Now, what's the rationale behind all of this? Let's go back for a second and just look at some Rashis. We're not going to go deep into the Makoros right now, but let's just look at some Rashis for some of this. So, for example, here, take a look at Svarahu. Yeah? It's. Svarahu
It's right opposite where it says Gilyon HaShas.
Right. It says Yarek Valyavar at the beginning of the line, and then it says Svarahu. So Svarahu, this is talking about the Shvichus Damim, the blood is redder business. Svarahu Shalot Titcha Nefesh Chaveiro Dikatarte Ibu Neshama Ve'Aveira Mipnei Nafsho. He says, why? Because in this case, you have two problems. You have number one, you have the Aveira of murder, and number two, you have the loss of life on the other side. So it's the loss of life and the Aveira versus your life. Right? So in any other case, though, you would have loss of life, your life, versus Aveira. But here, you know, his life, your life, it balances the scales. The Leika says, the Leika Ela Chada Ibud Neshama, Vahu Lo Yavor, the Chiyam Rachman Alavor Al Mitzvot, when God said to violate the Mitzvot, Mishum B'chai Behem, Mishum D'Yikara Be'inav Neshama Shal Yisrael. That's because he loves the souls of Bnei Israel more than he loves the mitzvot. V'hacha gaber utzeach kevin the sof ike ibud neshama lami hei mutter la'avor. But since you're getting rid of one of his souls, so why should it be mutter? Miyodei shnaf shachaviv b'liotzer yotu minafesh chaveiro hilkach davar dibra makom lo nitan nitchot. That's why you're not allowed to do it. In other words, there's this kind of balancing out. Once you balance those things out, so then all of a sudden the Aveira kicks back in. That's what Rashi says over here. Let's take a look at another Rashi, though. This is an interesting Rashi. My chazit d'damad didach sumak tfei. Rashi could have just left it alone, right? He could have just said, nobody knows, right? He could have said, everybody's equal, right? But he doesn't say that. What does he say? Mi yodea shehi damcha chaviv ne'el yotrecha yoter midam chavercha. How do you know that your dam is better than your friend's dam? Meaning you're worth more. Hilkachin kan lomer v'chai behem lo yishayimud behem shal yitira katuv ala mishum chavivot nafsham shal Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a repeat of what he said before. V'kan sheyesh yibud nefesh chaver lo nitel nedavar ha-melech litchot shetziv ala ratzicha. But what did Rashi open the door for? What did Rashi open the door for?
Yeah. If someone is not worthy or whatever, if someone's less good than you, someone's a convicted criminal.
What if I do know?
Yeah, well, but what if I do know? When you pay damages, kofar, right? There's a table for how much people are worth.
Right. So I guess we're assuming that that's not the basis over here. We're not talking about, you know, an evid is worth more than someone else.
Principle of there are different.
Right. There are different. Let's take a look at the Magal Siyam if you can on the source sheet. Those of you who have, share with those who don't. We're going to look quickly at this one. So this is Rav Reuven Margolios, and he wrote as follows. He says, "Yuyan b'sefer Chasidim." Shikasav Yotzer Aval Naharog Bachur Haroi Laholid Mimi Shaharag Zaken Vizakena Visaris Shena Molidim. It would be worse to kill. He's just talking about worse, better. He's not talking about Nafkamina exactly, but it's worse to kill a young person who is still in childbearing years, I guess, than to kill somebody who is unable to have children anymore or at all. Shena Molidim. Imagine a case where the mayor put his gun to the head of a 20-year-old virile young man and told him to kill somebody very, very, very old. You can make the argument that it doesn't apply anymore. According to Rashi, Omnam b'yad Rama. Basically, says the Yad Ramah has a different take on it. He says it's all about mitzvahs. How do you know you're going to do more mitzvahs than they are? And even if you're a young person versus an older person, maybe being of childbearing years is not the only thing that's important. Maybe it's how many mitzvahs you're going to do and how important they are. According to the Yad Ramah, that's what we're talking about over here. And nobody knows whose mitzvahs are worth more than other people's mitzvahs.
Nor do we know that necessarily the young person is going to live for longer.
No, we don't know that. We don't know that, but we do know that he can't have, the older one can't have children, if that was going to be the value. In other words, if we're going to use mundane matters like that to make the decision, then you could understand why somebody might do it. Beyond that, by the way, just to bring in Rav Dessler, Rav Dessler's point in the essay that he wrote of Nekudas HaMechira about free will, one of the main points he makes over there is that everybody is born into certain contexts, into environments. And some people are born into environments where it's easy for them to do mitzvot, and it's actually relatively difficult for them to do averos. And other people are born into environments where it's virtually impossible for them to do mitzvot and very easy to do averos. If you take somebody born into a context where the whole family is a bunch of thieves, let's say, for example, for that person, stealing is a big test. Whereas for, I assume, most of the people in this room, it's not a test at all. Every time that person encounters the test of stealing or not stealing, he accrues incredible amounts of schut. Of, God is so happy with that mitzvah. Whereas when we encounter that same situation, we get nothing.
We
get nothing. We put on tefillin in the morning, so the only test is whether or not we're going to have kavana, not whether we're going to put it on. Right? But for another person who's struggling with tefillin for whatever reason, so it's very, very difficult. So even at that level, you couldn't possibly ascribe value to a person's averos and mitzvahs.
Is the value of the averos and mitzvahs at the level of challenge?
You don't know what God wants. Nobody knows what God wants out of each person.
The level of the person.
Right.
So you could say the same thing in terms of if there's someone who's a tzaddik gomer of Russia or whatever else, you could at the same time say you don't know if no. It might be the in terms of how do you rate it?
From God's perspective.
If he dies, right, then his place in Shemaim is secured, and the other guy needs the 5 minutes or whatever else to make tshuva or whatever else. So you have to, so it's not clear you would choose it.
What's interesting is that with the way the Margolius Hayam ends, is he points, basically he seems to be arguing, I think he's arguing that, no, under no circumstances do we ever start coming up with cheshbonos about who's going to kill and who's we're not going to kill. There are some cheshbonos, sometimes if a person is on death row and you have somebody from outside, there are those kinds of extreme cases. But he does also point out that we do have a concept of triage. In terms of saving people, right? We've done the Gemaras. You know, if it's a Kohen or a Levi or a big Talmud Chacham or there's a father and a Rav and a mother and a child, they're all different kinds of Kadima. Because there are rules of who gets saved first. No, it's who gets saved first. So there, you need a guideline. You need guidelines to know what to do. So over here, it's interesting. They throw the guidelines out the window. They say there are no guidelines for this. Do not make this decision under any circumstances. Okay, so that's where it goes. All right, let's back to the Gemara. Here we go. Gemara says, "V'kama farhesya." How much is public? How many people do you need in order for it to be considered public, such that it's yarg v'yavor for even changing your shoelaces or anything? Right. Amar of Yaakov, Amar of Yochanan, ein farhesya pchutza mi asara bnei adam. Answer is 10. Okay. Pshita Yisraelim be'inan dechtiv v'nekdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. So it pachet that it has to be 10 Jews, because the whole idea of the Chil Hashem over here is v'nekdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. It's only Jews that are relevant over here. By the way, there is some dispute over here. It seems to be that one could make the argument that men and women here are equal. There's no reason to assume that this is like a davar shebekdusha, like a minyan. A woman has the same kedusha as Yisrael that a man does, and the Chil Hashem affects her the same way that it affects a man. And so it would seem that a woman would be counted towards this 10, just like a man would be counted towards the 10. By Rav Yirmiya, Tish'a Yisrael v'nachri echad mahu. This is a strange question. You just answered this question. Yes. But okay. Uh-huh. Says, what about 9 Jews and 1 non-Jew? Tashma, he said, well, I'll prove it to you. Tani Rav Yanai Achva de Rav Yichia bar Abba Atya Toch Toch. Ktivhacha v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. Ktivhacha atam hibadlu mitoch ha'edah hazot. Edah. Malahalan asara v'kulu Yisrael. Afkan asara v'kulu Yisrael. So they learn from the Edah that it's 10 and they're all Jews. What's the problem? What's the strange thing over here? Who is the Edah?
It's
Hibadlu mitoch ha'edah hazot. It's Korach. It's Adat Korach, right? It's always very strange that we learn basically minyan from Adat Korach. But okay, that's what we do. There's definitely something there. I think I may have said something in the past, but I don't remember what I've said or what I heard. But yeah, this is totally not going to work. The battery is dying. It's gonna be. We'll see if this works.
Roll the light.
Now it's going to die. And then it's going to fall over. There's no way this is going to stay. Your hand is blocking it now. No, no, don't. Okay, so let's see how long it lasts now. Okay, here's the big line. So the Gemara says, wait a second, though. You gave us another rule before about Farhesia. You gave us the rule about Farhesia. Vaha Esther Farhesia Have. Esther's encounter with Achashverosh when she goes to sleep with him in order to seduce him and to get him to do what she wants, that was in public. Now, what does that mean that that's in public? Were they doing it in front of everybody?
Everyone knew she was mad.
Right, so the Meiri learns from here that Farhesia doesn't have to mean that everybody sees it. It just has to mean
everybody
that
everybody knows about it.
Everybody knows about it. The implications nowadays are incredible, meaning everything is Farhesia now.
But what's the Aveira here? What should she do?
Good. Good question. But the Gemara assumes she did something. We'll have to wait for the sources. We're going to have fun with that. But the Gemara assumes that she did, at the very least, she slept with an non-Jew in public.
She married to more.
Pinchas killed somebody for that.
She married to more than one, therefore.
Well, that's a separate issue. But at the very least, she slept with an non-Jew in public. Right?
There wasn't a decree about that.
No, but it was for Hesia. For Hesia is Yagbal Yavor, no matter what the Aveira is. You could even remove the Aveira, by the way, and say it's not an Aveira, it's just not Jewish.
Did all of B'nai Yisrael know she was Jewish?
Seems to be assuming that they did.
Because if they don't know that she's Jewish, then there's no Chil Hashem here.
Well, the Gemara doesn't give any of those answers, it gives two answers.
No. In the same way, it could be, well, definitely they didn't know, the locals didn't know anything, right? Because otherwise she wouldn't have to do the big reveal. And if the whole thing is that it's not that in front of them, we break our commandments.
Right. Well, the Gemara doesn't give those answers. It gives two different answers. Abaye and Rabbah give two different answers. Not clear whether they're arguing, but they give two different answers. Baha Esther for Asya Havi, Amar Abaye. Esther's okay because Esther Karka Olam Haita. Esther Karka Olam. She was the ground. What does that
passive.
Mean? She was passive. She was passive. That's what it means. Now, we'll go into exactly how passive she was and what the implications of that are soon. But suffice it to say that Abaye is claiming that if you do something like this passively, then it's okay to passively do something that's Yarag Val Yavor.
Does that imply you were forced?
Yeah, is it rape? Is that...
We'll have to talk about exactly to what degree she was passive and... So Rav Amar Hanat Atzman Shani. Rava says, no, it's a different thing. The reason why this was okay was because she wasn't doing it to be Mechalal Hashem. She was doing it because Achashverosh wanted her. So if let's just assume that this is a regular Aveira, not one of the big three. Let's assume that for now. So apparently Rava says there's a heter to violate an Aveira even in public, as long as it's clear that the reason why the Aveira is being violated is not for the sake of embarrassing a Jew or, you know, forcing the Jew to violate Torah, but it's simply because the non-Jew wants something for himself. So, for example, you know, imagine that the non-Jewish government says that you have to work on Shabbos. Okay? Now, their desire to work on the railroad on Shabbos. Okay?
Bridge.
Now, their desire for you to work on the bridge on Shabbos is not necessarily... it just so that you violate Shabbos, right? It's because they want you to complete the bridge, right? That being the case, it's not considered a problem of Farhesia because it's not a Chil Hashem in that sense. They're not causing you to, you know, rebel against your Judaism or forego your Judaism. They're just asking you to do something. It happens to be against the Torah, but you know what? Avor Val Yahareg, the fact that it's in public is irrelevant. That's the claim that Rava is making. As long as it's for Hanat Atzma. So the Gemara says, Hachanami, Shani, Di lo temahachi, says, and I'll prove it to you, ki hani kavaki v'dimoniki, hechi avinan lehu. They used to go shopping in Jewish stores in order to buy candles for their Avodah Zarah. Right? For their Avodah Zarah. Now normally you wouldn't be allowed to give it to them. Right, because you're basically helping them do Avodah Zarah, which is Aser. So you're allowed to do it though, because they're doing it for themselves. It's not for you. It's not for you. They're not doing it just to get to you. You're the ones who have the candles. So so they want you to sell it to them. El hanat asman shani hachanami hanat asman shani. This is exactly the case that I said. If a non-Jew wants you to mow his lawn on Shabbos, and it's just because he wants his lawn mowed, so then you're allowed to mow his lawn. There's a song when I was growing up, Uncle Moshe, ain't gonna work on Saturday, triple, triple, double pay, right? So, you know, ain't going to work on Saturday. And
it's Shabbos Kodesh.
Right, so even if you were going to kill me, I wouldn't work on Shabbos. No. If you kill me, I'll work on Shabbos.
That missing verse. That's not good enough if he's going to kill you.
Okay, now, okay, the next thing we're not going to go into, the next thing is Ben Noach. We're going to stop here. Maybe next time we'll continue with the Gemara. Let's decide. We'll stop here in the Gemara and let's go to the sources, all right? Here, the fun's going to start. The truth is that actually, before you go to the sources, let's look at Tosfos over here on the side. It's a big Tosfos. We're not going to have time to read through the whole thing, but we'll find the parts that are relevant.
The Ha'Esther.
This Tosfos, you think this is big, basically the same Tosfos appears, I think, in Yuma and in Ksubas, with almost all the same points, but you know, written in a different way. This is like a really important. If you see this Tosfos, you can say that you saw like 1% of all Tosfos in the Gemara.
Was it the same Bali Tosfos who wrote it in Egypt?
Not necessarily. No. I mean, the names are going to be the same names, but there's a different Bali Tosfos in every single Masechet. In other words, it can be taken from different volumes. Like in some Masechet, it's Tosfos Harash, in some Masechet, it's Tosfos Shantz. It's different in each one. So the Gemara says, Tema, the Havali Lakshui Arayos Havi. This is the main question over here. If we assume that Esther did anything wrong by sleeping with Achashverosh, what was it that she did wrong? What Aveira is this? Gil Arayos. But Gil Arayos is one of the big three on its own. Who cares about Farhesia? It should have just said, Far Esther Gil Arayot Havi. Why didn't it say that? That's the question bothering Tosfos. So he's going to give eventually two answers. This is the first one. The Havli Lakshri Arayot Havi, the Rotzeach Menar Marasa the Kuli Almi Yehar Gval Yavar, Kmo Ken Kasha Bereish Ksubas Damer, the Ikat Snuas the Masr Nafshay. I'm going to try to skip past the questions and we'll get straight to the answers. Here we go. Where's Rabbeinu Tam? Here. V'tirat Rabbeinu Tam. The first words on the line is V'tirat Rabbeinu Tam. V'tirat Rabbeinu Tam. This is Rabbeinu Tam's answer. Says basically, there is no Yarg Vayavar when it comes to sleeping with a non-Jew, because basically their Zera is different than our Zera. That's the idea. Okay, I don't think he's speaking biologically, but he is speaking halachically. He'll even go even further than that. He says, Mishum Rachmana Avkare Lazari Dovid Kukhavim Kadamina Preparak Nosan Halanusa Dechtib Vizermas Susim Zermatam. It's like their intimate relations is like the intimate relations between two animals, between two horses. They're just different species. We talk kach, Hayarot Rabinatam, the Hatir, Batisol Shihimira, Ubaale Ovid Kukhavim, Vishuv Nitkayer Ima, Lakaima, Biyahadut. Look at the kula that Rabbeinu Tam comes up with. The kula he comes up with is as follows. Imagine that a Jewish married woman, slept with a non-Jew.
Forcibly.
No.
No?
She had an affair with a non-Jew. She converted, quote-unquote, to Christianity, right? Can't convert, but she did, from her perspective. She converted to Christianity, and she slept with a non-Jewish man. She had a relationship with him. And then she was Choseret B'tshuva. And she gives a get to her original husband, and she converts. She has the man she slept with convert to Judaism so that they can get married. Now, normally speaking, if a woman has an affair with a man, asur la boel v'asur la baal, she becomes asur both to her husband and to the man that she slept with. She can never marry him.
The ger is a new man.
But this ger is not only a new man, but also
new to the wife.
He wasn't even. Their encounter wasn't a real encounter.
You don't even have to say an affair. It was a mixed marriage at first. A Jewish woman with a Goyish husband.
Right, but then there's no Gila Rayos, at least. Because she's Pnuya. She's single.
She can even get back to her husband then.
No, there is no husband. Mayor's talking about this case.
This case where she...
We're talking about different cases.
No, but she can't give up her Judaism, therefore she's still married.
Would
the affair be counted?
Wait, she was married in the first place to a Jew, or not?
You know, over here it actually doesn't specify that she was married. It seems like it was just a regular case, even not being married. I don't know why I remembered it differently, but it seems like it's just a regular case where she's not even married, but she slept with a non-Jew. Then he converts, and then they can, which is, you know, that happens a lot. But he says it's okay because it's the Havia Kabias Behema. It's like she slept with a different species. That's what it's like.
And that's okay.
From the perspective of Halacha, it doesn't create Gila. It's not Gila Arayos of this order. So that's how Rabbi Nathan gets around the Esther problem, right? She did something wrong, but it wasn't Gila Arayos. Right. It wasn't Gila Arayos. If it was Gila Arayos, it would be Asur on its own Yerag Val Yafar. But because it's only this, so it's only Asur Befar Hestia. Not everybody liked Rabbi Natan's point. So this is the Rivam, the Rizak Bar of Mordechai. You have a case in the Gemara that seems to imply that the case that I describe, where a married woman would sleep with a non-Jewish man, that she becomes a surah to her husband. So it seems clear that is the case. Now, so now he has to answer the question why it's not Gila Arayos. Here. So go all the way down to the first wide line, the widest line, first of the widest line. At the end of that sentence, at the end of that line, it says, Vahad de lo parich. Yeah? Mm-hmm. It says, Vahad de lo parich. Then the Gemara doesn't ask. Hacha. Going back to the original question, according to the Rivam, why doesn't it ask that? If it really is Gila Arayos. Says the kimle de mahani time de karka olam le inyan de lom chayv alim tor atzma mishum arayos the hamir otzech yalfinan v'otzech gufei kim chayv alim tor atzma hani min the kodem shehari b'adam. Says basically, I'm going to say it outside because we're going to see it in the Ran as well. Says basically, the Rivam is going to say that it's not everybody knew already that it's not gila arayos because she's karka olam, because she's passive. The only question was whether or not that was going to fix the farhesi problem, and that's what the Gemara is coming to teach you. In other words, in Achinami it was gila arayos. But because she's karka olam, everybody agrees that was going to be fine.
But her Hesia doesn't know that she was karka olam.
Well, it depends what karka olam means.
Yeah, we're going to define. That was going to be my question. Yeah, we're going to define karka olam.
Yeah, we're going to have to define what that means.
Okay.
So there are two options of what it can mean. One option is that women are always karka olam because they're always, you know, they're always the party that's being acted upon. Mm-hmm. Unless they seduce, in those cases they might be different. But the other option might be no. When she is being forced, if she doesn't want to be doing it, then that's karka olam. So the question is, which one of those is going on up here? That, I forget if the Ran goes deep into that. I don't think he goes really into that, but he does go into it a little bit. Go to the sheets. We're going to see this playing out in the Ran fully. So he says, V'tirutz abaye, the Esther karka olam het. Haita, klamer shalasta shum maase. She didn't do anything. Became a delo of the shum maase. Vafilu haita erva mamish daraita ein la limsorat atzma lemita. Sheachar shev shalai no sota baal korcha. Since she could be completely raped and completely against her will, vlasot ba maase matoil and moserat atzma lahariga harei lo yargua elishiyasu ba maase baal korcha. Because even if she wanted to stop him, she wouldn't have been able to. So Tosas is claiming, according to the Ran, Tosas is claiming. No, sorry, the Ran is claiming. The Ran is claiming that Abaye's teretz is that karka olam is a heter because she wouldn't have any option anyways. Even if she didn't want it to happen, it would have happened. And because of that, it's not an issue of farhesia.
You know, this sort of belies the story of Esther to begin with. She was...
Exactly. She chose to go into the
she
palace.
She chose to go into this beauty pageant and knowing that...
No, she didn't choose to go into the beauty pageant. The beauty pageant, she did not choose to go into the beauty pageant. She wanted to, she tried to get out of the beauty pageant. Okay. But this night, when she told... when she told Mordechai, Kasher Avadati Avadati, that she definitely chose to go into his room, where we assume that... that they had relations. That's what we assume. That was definitely something that she chose to do. But what he's pointing out is that either way, he could have had her way with her. He could have had his way with her. So that's why it was okay.
He was the king. He knew what he was.
Rava gives a different time. It's fine. Now, he quotes Tosros. Okay, now, he quotes Tosos, who starts to talk a little bit more about it. Let's look at it inside. Aval b'tosos mafarshim de'ikar kusha leita, d'maksha vaday yadan da'afilu Yisrael ha'onis eishas Yisrael ein lalim tzorat malamisa. Everybody knows that if a woman is about to be raped, she doesn't have to, you know, kill herself, right? She doesn't have to kill herself to prevent it from being gilei arayos. Now, how is that so simple, though? Maybe a woman should be willing to have herself be killed before she's raped. Imagine the case. The case we're talking about is as follows. Man puts a gun to the woman's head and says, you have to sit there and take it, or I'm going to kill you. What should she do? Should she fight back and cause him to kill her? Or should she say, I'm not going to do anything and let him have his way with me? What should she do? No? What should she do? How would you figure this out?
Is the issue, is she being passive or not? If she's being passive, then she's not guilty of anything.
Okay, now where do you get that idea that being passive is okay?
From Esther.
No, but, okay. But if you wanted to give the where did Esther get it from? In other words, where did Abaye get it from?
So there's a halacha that if she's raped in the,
right.
in the field.
Yeah, that's a separate, that's a, there's a whole halacha about what happened to
right.
the raped, yeah.
And therefore it assumes she's not guilty.
Yes. But it still could be considered gilei arayos from a, you know, avera perspective. Not that she's going to be punished for it. She's not. But so Tosos is going to take the following position. He's going to say, well, how do we know that gilei arayos is yarg v'yavar at all? Let's go back to that. How do we know that? Remember from the Gemara, there was a chain. How do we know that Gilu Arayos is Yarg Yavar at all? What?
It's
from Ritzicha. From Ritzicha, right? Which means now we have to figure out a different question. What about passive Ritzicha? Now, what's passive Ritzicha? So take a look. So he says, V'cheinam yesh lo marshein svara shiim tzorat smol amita. Kedei sheyatzil et chavero bin amita. Kigon, im yomer lo hakuti, imagine an angel comes to you and says, Sheyargenu im lo yaniach lo laharog et ploni or im yomer hanach atzmacha shenidcha otcha al tinok kdei sheyamud b'dechifa zot o harog otcha. Guy comes to you and says, I'm going to have to turn off the YouTube, by the way, I'm going to lose everything. Sorry, people who are watching on YouTube, which is only one of you. Hopefully it will survive just doing the recording for the MP3. Imagine the non-Jew comes and says, I'm going to kill you unless you let me kill this other person. Or, even worse, I'm going to kill you unless you let me push you onto this baby. Right? He holds a gun to your head and says, don't move. And then I'm going to push you onto this baby. And if you try to resist, I'm going to shoot you. What should you do in that situation?
So it's passive. It's not doing anything.
So Tosus claims, in that case, pshita, shein, pshita. She ain't lo limsorat smol lemita. You don't resist.
Same logic.
Why?
Why?
It's the same logic.
Same, no, but it's the same net effect.
No, one is doing something. One is go out and kill someone. And the other one is, you know, don't go out. I mean, basically, you'd have to
stop this baby. I'm
imagining, you know, when there's someone tied on the railway tracks, right? It's literally if you save them or whatever else, then you'll die. There's something going to happen to this person, right? If you save them, you'll die. You'll take their place. I'm going to push you. It could be, you know, I'm going to push you on top of someone. I'm going to force you against your will to crush a baby. I'm going to push you over. I'm going to crush you. You're not doing anything. If you keep standing there, nothing's going
to
happen.
So let's pause the debate here for a second, because we're going to get back to that, and just finish Tosus's point. Tosus thinks it's pashut, that if somebody says, you must sit there and let me cause you to kill that person, then you're allowed to, you should, just sit there and let him cause you to kill that person. You're not cause. You sit there and let me push you onto this. Yeah, don't interfere. Let me push you onto this person so you kill them. This is pashut. Once he thinks that that's pashut, then he can rewind and say, the same is true for Gilai Arayos. If I put a gun to the woman's head and say, all I want you to do is just sit there, then she can just sit there. She's not doing anything. Now, we're going to have to investigate that when we see Rav Chaim. But that's Tosfos' argument, that the Ran records that. And now he says, based on that, so now we have to get to the question of Farhesya. That's where the Gemara is going. He says, Hikshu Farhesya have Shahaya Maksha Sofer. The Maksha knew this. The Maksha knew that from the perspective of Gilai Arayos, there's no problem because she's Kaka Olam, because she's passive. But maybe from a perspective of Farhesya, that's not good enough. Maybe if we're talking about Chil Hashem, we're talking about where, you know, you're gonna do this in front of everybody. Maybe you have to take an active role. Maybe you have to do something about it. And that's where the Gemara comes in and says, no, Karka Olam is enough even for Farhesya. Okay, so let's move on from the Ran, because now we have the material we need to look at the Rambam and Rav Chaim. So the Rambam says as follows: Kol Beit Yisrael. He kind of sums up the Gemara. Everybody has an obligation of Kiddush Hashem. And then the Rambam goes on to point out all the other halachot. The thing is, the Rambam leaves out the whole idea of passivity. Leaves that out. Now, why does he leave it out? So Rav Chaim, this is actually the first piece in the Chiddush Rabbeinu Chaim HaLevi. First piece, the first page in the whole book.
Who is he?
Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Father of Brisker Lumbus.
Right.
So he, it's a complicated piece. So we'll do some of it inside, some of it outside. The beginning, he quotes Tosfos, right? Who just makes this argument, the Tosfos that the Ran quoted, that just like a Rotzeach who is passively being asked to kill doesn't have to fight back, it's Avor Val Yahareg, right? If there's anything to be Avor, but he doesn't do anything. So too, the same is true with Gilai Arayos. So Rav Chaim claims that that's not true of the Rambam. The HaRambam, the bolded part, the Satan below is here. Klal hach de karka olam. He didn't mention anything about the karka olam. Mashma de cholik alze. V'sfir le de bekol gavnei harg vel yavar begilai arayos. Sounds like the Rambam thinks that there's no heter of karka olam at all, and that even if she's karka olam, it's still going to be yarg vel yavar. V'kvar nechlik v'arishon alze akam v'vur bebal amor b'mocham hasham. You can look it up over there. This really, the Esther, Lohavi Arayos Klal, the Hachsugis really. In other words, there are ways out for the Rambam. Rambam is going to say that Esther was okay because either she was single, so it wasn't Gilai Arayos, or because, like Rabbeinu Tam says, he was a non-Jew, and therefore it was okay. One way or another, it's not Gilai Arayos. But not Karka Olam. You just need Karka Olam. Karka Olam will get you out of Farhesya, but it won't get you out of Gilai Arayos itself. Okay? Now, so, but I understand. Hari Tosas Hochichu. Tosas proved from Rotzeach. Tehecha de Havi Sheva Tase and Mukhil Dim Saratzmo. Vlama Pasak, the Kol Gavni, Tarek Val Tavor. So, Tosas proved that that where it's sheva, that where you can do sheva al taseh, you don't have to give up your life. So then why did the Rambam say that in all cases, tereg bal tapor? That in all cases, even when it's karka olam, you have to do it. Why did the Rambam disagree with Tosos? He gives two explanations. Number one, v'yeshomer dekeven deberticha gufa ha'dechilug sheva al taseh mimasev yadayim ha'lo'ein zemishum chomer demasev yadayim. We saw this before. Why is it that Shvichus Damim is Asur even Yargo Yavor? Not because of how bad Shvichus Damim is. That doesn't factor in, because frankly, there may be things that are worse than Shvichus Damim. From a punishment perspective, that's for sure. But it's not because of that. It's because the two lives are equal. So, Tosa says, so here, you're not killing anybody, and the two lives are equal. So that's why it works for Shvichus Damim. For Shvichus Damim, I can understand why we throw out the logic of who said your blood is redder than his. Because here, you're not doing anything, biyadayim. You're not killing the guy. So all you're doing is sitting back and not getting involved. You don't have to value, by the same token that you don't have, that you're not allowed to value your life more than his, you also don't have to value his life more than yours. And you're no more involved in the murder than he is, so you can sit back. However, does that apply to Gila Arayos? So that has nothing to do with Gila Arayos, though. If the way that we learn from Shvichus Damim to Arayos is that just like your life is not more important than Shvichus Damim, your life is also not more important than Gila Arayos, then the fact that you're being passive is irrelevant by Gila Arayos. Unless it takes away the Avera, which is not the claim. If it took away the Avera completely, then there's nothing to talk about. It's not Gila Arayos. But if the point is that being passive makes it not Yehareg Val Yavor, why should that apply by Gila Arayos, the Rambam says? Tosef says it does. But the Rambam says it shouldn't apply. Says from the perspective of Gila Arayos and Yarg Val Yavor, being passive and being active are the same thing. That's how he defends the Rambam. Make sense?
Or were they equally bad or were they equally okay?
They're equally bad.
They're equally bad. In other words, if we assume that even being passive is Gila Arayos, we still call it that. So there's an Avera of Gila Arayos happening. So it remains Yehareg Al Yavor, because there's nothing to mitigate it. By Shvichus Damim, there's something to mitigate it, because it's your life versus his life.
So just once more, how do we learn Gila Arayos from Ritzifa in the first place?
So from the Hekesh.
From the Hekesh. So it's not to do with, because with the Ritzifa, it was about, you know, your blood isn't better than mine.
Right.
And for Gila Arayos, we learned it because of the Hekesh, not because of
right. So it's almost like Tosos is saying you can't separate the reason from the din itself.
Yeah. Whereas in Ritzifa, you do. Because whereas I was saying with Daniel, the fact of you being passive, you're still causing the death of this other person. But that's not relevant in Ritzicha, because you're comparing you originally arrived at it in a different way that you arrived at Gila Arayos. In Ritzicha, you arrived at it because of saying, you know, my blood, your blood. And therefore, if I'm passive in that, I'm not involved in a judgment call about my blood or his blood.
Sheva al tasa means that I'm going to sit back and not do anything.
I'm not involved in that.
The argument of the Rambam is...
The
argument of Chaim is making is that according to Tosfos, the real rule of Yehareg Val Yavor, if you were to put it a different way, is Sheva al tasa. It's another way of translating it. Just don't do anything. Don't do anything. So Sheva al tasa, that will work for Shvichus Damim. It makes sense to say Sheva al tasa because... It means you're paralyzed. You can't do anything. You can't make any decision. If you can't make any decision, then don't do anything.
Let the guy kill you.
Don't do anything. But by Gila Arayos, there's no stalemate. It's Gila Arayos, whether you're passive or you're not passive. And there's nothing, you know, it's not there's nothing on the other side of the equation. That's his first explanation. But he has another explanation.
I've got a problem with that. But Gilia Raya says, Gilia Raya, whether you're passive or not, you can say the same thing for Shvikas Damim. Whether you're passive or not, somebody is still getting killed, whether I'm passive or not.
But the reason why you're not allowed to do Shvikas Damim is merely because you can't make a decision between your life and his life. Not because of how bad it is. Not because of the Avera itself. Unlike Rashi says, right? Rashi makes the whole thing about the Avera. Right? He says, oh, your life, his life, and the Avera. Tosus, according to Rav Chaim, is ignoring that. Or the Rama is ignoring that. Now, the other explanation he gives is Yesh Lamar O, Dehine Tzarchim, let's see. So he's saying over here, in the case of Shvichus Damim, Misha Mashlichoto Hu HaRotzeach. He is the one who's the Rotzeach. In other words, there's no Shvichus Damim.
Right. There's none at all. Right.
You're not the one doing it.
You could have been a stone, you were just an object.
Right. You're the first one, you actually might be involved in the murder, yeah. But you're not doing anything. You're involved, you're an accessory to the murder, but you haven't done anything. You're an uninnocent bystander. And that's okay to be an uninnocent bystander because you're not being asked to do anything. Over here, you're not even doing anything at all.
Got no role.
You have no role, and that's why it's okay. However, Mashi'ein came in our Masa after Lokav the Masa Mikom Lokom Hari Overet Al Gila Rayot Ulhachi Shapir Adin Noten the Teragal Tavor. Chiddush is that it's still Gila Rayot even though she's passive. And that's where they had to get out of it for Esther. Now, how could that be?
Which doesn't have a mental... essentially, you need to have a mental state and a physical action.
Right.
And for Gilera, I see that. It just needs... It's the physical action.
Now, where does he get that from, though? Where does he get that from? How does he know that it's Gilera Rios even if you're passive?
The same way the other person says it's not Gilui Arayos because you're passive. I mean, we didn't ask the question, how does he know it's not Gilui Arayos because he's passive? Because she's passive. Well, we didn't ask that question over there, so why do we... Either we ask a question of both of them or neither one of them.
So the assumption seems to be, this is the massive Machlokes Rishonim about whether or not it's ever the case that a woman is considered of violating Gilui Arayos because she's it's not always, but she is in general passive in the act. She takes a passive role in the act. He gets into this later in the last paragraph. No, he doesn't. Some of the Rishonim have different Girsos in some of the Gemaras about whether or not it's Yerhag Val Yabor and also Teherag Val Tabor, which makes a difference. In other words, if you only have Yerhag Val Yabor, then it's only for the men, and it's Teherag Val Tabor, then you can't really get out of it, and it also applies to women. But that seems to be the assumption that Rav Chaim is making in the Rambam. And it would break, that would break down the Machlokas between the Rambam and Tosfos. Okay, now, let's do a little bit of Halacha, and then we have some other things, and I did want to get to one. There were actually at least two more important topics, but we'll do a little bit of the Shulchan Aruch so we can see some conclusions, and then maybe we'll jump up all the way to the end. We don't have time. How many people do we have?
Right.
We don't have. Can we get a tenth or no?
Okay,
question.
Can?
I'll go and ask. Okay. Kol the Shulchan Aruch says, "Chutz mi'avod eschav megidah resh shivas damim im omer melala adam shi'avor lehem o yahareg imu betzina yahavor val yahareg." If it's private, you do it. We didn't talk about this. This is another topic. What happens if you decide that you want to give up your life, even when it's a case of avor ve'al tehareg? You know, your non-Jewish neighbor wants you to mow his lawn. Are you allowed to refuse? So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Im yirtzeh l'hachmir al atzmo l'tehareg, rashai." So it's not really Rashai, because that's actually the same case. Now, there are Majams in it that says, fine, that's talking about using up all your money. When it comes to a lo ta'ase, you have to use up all your money to avoid violating a lo ta'ase. Okay, this is a different subject. Come to the next one. Bimu for Hesya, the Hainu Mibne Asaram Yisrael, Chayav the Harig Velo Yavor, Ima Ovid Kuchavim Mechavim Havir Al Dat. I feel like I'm sad. But again, it's assuming that it's if the non Jew is trying to cause you to violate Judaism.
As opposed to have his.
Who is he quoting here, basically? Whose assumption is this? This is Rava's assumption. That's Lahanat Atzmo is Mutter, but anything less than Hanat Atzmo is not Mutter. That's what you should do. Now, if you jump to the next page, if you have it, so the Shach disagrees. On the words Rashai, so Shach says, V'habach pasak ha-Rambam, T'kol mi shedino la'avor v'al yaharig, Nerag lo avar harezem yitchayev benafsho. The Rambam says that you're not allowed to put your life on the line for any other mitzvot. Ubhagos Ashri, however, he says, he's not sure. Could be yes, could be no. Chumas Adeshen, Rav Moshe Isserlein, the great, great, great Ashkenazi posek. I have to say, I'm almost scared to say this on recording. I keep having a thought. I don't think this exists, of somebody writing a book on the Chumas Adeshen. I have a suspicion that every single one of his chugos makes it into Shulchan Aruch. Because he really didn't write that many, and he is almost always quoted. And it would be interesting to write a sefer where you took each one of his chugos and showed how it went and just basically used that as a springboard for studying Shulchan Aruch, because I think every single one of his psakim gets into Shulchan Aruch.
It's being recorded for you.
So yeah, exactly. So I feel like it would be such a good sefer, because it would be a great limud and it would take you all over the place, because he writes about all kinds of subjects, but you trace it everywhere. Anyways, he says Vayanir de Bapluktu de Rabbasa Azlinan Azlina Lakula Beisr Sakanas Nefashos. He thinks we should go Lakula, meaning you should not. Omnam, he says, however, I'm not so sure that we should go Sakanas Nefashos Lahakel, because here, Hachadalinim Kiddush Hashem, Shaloi Spika Hikpida Torah Ali Benefashos Mishrael, Loyal Fidel Mishra Spikos. He says, it could be that there's actually, I don't know if we should call it a leniency over here, it should be that there's room to allow yourself to be killed in these situations because you're doing for the sake of Kiddush Hashem, which is itself a reason to allow yourself to be killed.
Isn't that what Rabbi Akiva did?
Yes, it is. There are numerous cases in the Gemara and in history of Rabbim, of Yireim Ushleimim, that's the Kesef Mishnah quotes on the Rambam. The Rambam says you're not allowed to do it. But then what do you do with all the Gemaras that talk about rabbis doing it? And Shaul HaMelech as well, by the way, which he... you have other cases. So either you assume, like the Chumas Adeshen, that basically, in general, it's okay for the reason that it's a Kiddush Hashem. So Kiddush Hashem, it trumps life. Or you take the smaller route, the Kesef Mishnah, who says that it depends who you are. If you're the kind of person, if you're the kind of person that everybody looks up to, you know, that it would make a big statement, Rabbi Akiva makes a big statement by putting your life on the line for certain situations, then it makes sense.
Is that
if you're just a regular person, then no.
Is that why Rabbi Akiva wasn't involved at the start of this discussion?
Yeah, he doesn't make it in here. I don't know if Rabbi Akiva is the best example. What did he do?
He took toe in public when the Romans
made it. Also, Rabbi Akiva and but that could be called the Kshas Shman. They're trying to be...
He didn't have to teach it in public, though. He could have taught it in private. He chose deliberately. So.
Okay. So it's interesting. Chumas Adeshen, who opens the door, he says, if the whole thing is about Kiddush Hashem, then there's no room for the criticism. And he ends with Agos Asmak Otan Kedoshim Sheshachtu Atzman Shelo Samchu Da'atam Lamod B'Nisayon Kedoshim Gemurim Hen. Those who killed themselves in order to avoid being converted or tortured or whatever by non-Jews, so then they are Kedoshim. See, the truth is that this actually breaks down interestingly along Sephardi Ashkenazi lines. Because during the Crusades, which is when a lot of this literature began to be written, so it was the Ashkenazim Dafka who were always having their lives been put on the line for in front of the Christians. And the Christians were saying, you know, either convert or die. Whereas the Sephardim were living in Muslim lands where they were relatively unpersecuted. So the Rambam was horrified when he would hear stories about people committing suicide so that they wouldn't do anything wrong, right? Because he thought, you know, that's terrible. You're not allowed to commit suicide. But the Ashkenazim Dafka understood it because it was Maisim B'Kol Yom for them. And so it was seen as more reasonable. And so when people did it, so the Ashkenazi Rishonim tried to find justification for it. So you can find this actually in the Shulchan.
There are examples of, I mean, lots of examples of basically, you know, Sephardic pogroms or whatever else, where the whole Kila was told to convert and none of them did.
In which years? You have Maranos, sorry. But that's in a different place.
No, we're talking about 1617.
That's much later. Right. I'm talking about 10th, 11th, 12th.
Got to check when. I mean, I'm familiar with the history then. I don't know.
Right, I'm sure. I'm talking about before that. You know, 10th, 11th, 12th centuries.
There are examples then.
This is where you had. There's even a tshuva. There's a tshuva by Maram Rottenberg. It's probably the scariest tshuva ever, where this guy describes how. We've talked about it, where this guy says that there were these Christians coming to town, and they knew that they were going to convert them. And so they all decided that they were going to kill each other, and so he ended up slaughtering his whole family, and then they didn't come.
He told us on Tisha B'Av.
Yeah, and then they didn't come. And so he writes to Maram Rottenberg, how do I do tshuva for this? Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, and the Maram Rottenberg, like, with great pain, responds to him. I don't know exactly what he says. I think he tries to console him. He doesn't say, you know, you're going to hell for this. He doesn't say that. He tries to console him. He says, yeah, you should, you know, find ways to atone, but and when it's quoted in the Beis Yosef, he's horrified by the whole story. He thinks it's crazy. How could this happen? But yeah, wanted to do one last topic, one last thing. This is Zilberstein, a Chashuki Chemen on the bottom. It's just for fun, okay? A treat to you know, in Maftir Nachar Afikomen. So this is the Afikomen for us. Sheila Nachri Sherotzim LaHarog Adam. Nodnim lo brera, oshi amir dato, oshi argu, umeshan of shalki dushmo, yizbarach, haim bevarech, obisa chashuv azu. Now there's a joke that goes along with this, right?
Yeah. Rabbi Toker used to tell this joke all the time.
Right? That there's a joke that goes along with it, that there's a Jew who was being threatened by a non-Jew, and then the Jew says, well, he made the bracha on Kish Hashem, and then the non-Jew decides not to do it, and the Jew says, because he didn't want to get back on the matana. So here it is. So take a look at this. So Katzav Ashla, right? The Shnei Luchot, the Breda, Vishai Horowitz. Yeah, Mishpacha. Nira Be'ini, Shmi Sheba Liyadu Kiddush Hashem, Mekayim Mitzvos Asei, Devinikdash Betoch Bnei Yisrael, Az Kodem Sheragu Yivarech B'Simcha, Baruch Atah Hashem Lokinim Ha'Cholam, Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvotav B'Tzivanu, L'Kadesh Shmo Barabim. There's a bracha for it. Mekadesh shmo berabim. Kedarasinim b'tosefta de brachos ha'oz ha'mitzvah sarach levarach faneha. V'af sheyesh harbe mitzvah. He says, it's true. Yesh harbe mitzvah atzei she'ein b'varach haneha. There are some mitzvahs that there's no bracha for them. K'varenem b'hem tamim. V'ein tamim eila she'achin l'mitzvah atzei shom ikdashti. There are reasons for those. Those reasons don't apply over here. You know, all the mitzvahs ben adam l'chaveiro, pretty much. There's no bracha for them. There's reasons given. There's a famous Rashba. He goes through all the reasons why there's some mitzvahs that you don't make a bracha on. But none of those rules apply over here, so there is a bracha. Maharam Shik says, no. Hashem doesn't want you to make this bracha. Hashem doesn't want you to make this bracha. Look at that story. The story where the Mitzrim are dying and Hashem wasn't happy about it. Here you have a Jew who's about to die. He's going to make a bracha on it. How can he make a bracha on it? Hashem's not happy with this. Lo nicha. And he quotes the Beis David, who also says something similar. Shuta Rashba. Ein mavarchen al mitot beitin. Kevin Hashem yitbarach chas al b'riotat. Do we make a bracha when we kill somebody? For mitat beitin? It's a mitzvah to say. To do it. We don't make a bracha. Because we don't make Hashem Yisbarach Chasa B'yotav. Same way we don't make a bracha on Halal and Rosh Hashanah. We don't say Halal at all. Sorry. We don't say Halal on Rosh Hashanah. V'yishlamed ha-motzer nafsho ha-kedushat Hashem hu-chafetz v'sameach. But he says, on the other hand, that person who is actually motzer nafsho, he may be happy. Who motzer nafsho? Mashen ken ha-nerg rebeit din over there. Nobody's happy about it. But the person who kills himself, who allows himself to be killed, could be happy. No, he might... I mean, I assume he's not going to be always happy. But okay. He also says you can't bring a proof to mitat beitin because there that's a mitzvah baba avera because there's an avera that causes it, so it's not the same. And by the way, he quotes the Shumas Adeshin. Sefer Mama Mordechai Katar Shaladimre Shumas Adeshin. Is it the same one? It is. That's our Shumas Adeshin. She'ein v'kiddush Hashem suffik nefashas v'hakla shleik bid the Torah bid nefashas v'yisrael. You can't lo chashiv klala. It's not considered a klala because kiddush Hashem is more important. Then that is more important than the death. That's what's going on over there, and therefore maybe you could make the bracha.
The bracha is not on dying. The bracha is on being prepared to offer your life.
In the midst of Kiddush Hashem.
But it's on being prepared to offer. You're not killing yourself.
Right.
You're not, you know, someone else.
You can make this bracha in other contexts. Exactly. You can make this bracha in any context where there's a Kiddush Hashem. Yeah.
So you could. I mean, the answer of like you know. Mitzrayim and whatever else. Like you're doing what you have to do. You're keeping your mitzvah and you're doing it, you know, for Kiddush Hashem. It looks like
a lesson of the Kadesh Shmuel Barabbi, and that reinforces what we've said about the Parhesia. It doesn't say the Kadesh Shmuel, period.
Right.
Kadesh Shmuel Barabbi.
Right. By the way, I mean, I'm just thinking now, you know, what happens if there's a situation where a non-Jew said to you, you know, you're not allowed to shake the lulav in Esrog. Right? And you decide you're going to do it anyways. Do you make a bracha on that?
So it's a mitzvah aser, or...?
For sure, you normally make a bracha on it. But on the other hand, according to Maharam Shik, Hashem doesn't want you to do that. Or he's not happy about you doing it.
It's a mitzvah aser. I mean, it's a mitzvah aser, you should do it.
Say,
if you don't do it,
according to Trumas Adeshin, you're allowed to, right?
What? You're allowed to...
According to Trumas Adeshin, you're allowed to do a mitzvah even if it means you're going to die, even though it's avor val yarek. According to the Rambam, it's terrible.
Yeah.
But according to the Trumas Adeshin, you can. So, you know, would you use the Maharam Shik's Svara and say, no, you can't make such a bracha because Hashem doesn't want you to do it, or something like that?
But you intended to do that.
What?
You have an effort. I mean, it's worth a bracha when you intend to do it. Some of the other things we talked about, they're not necessarily.
Right, so maybe there's no bracha for that mitzvah because it's never supposed to have a bracha, but for this one, yeah, I hear.
If there's a bracha on that, wouldn't Rabbi Akiva have made it before he died?
Maybe he did.
Well, the Gemara says what happened.
Who's to say he died? Yeah.
No, the Gemara says it's Shema. Exactly.
Okay. Maybe he said it before Shema. I don't know.
He mentioned Shema. If it was a bracha, he wouldn't have said a bracha.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Tzivanu l'kadesh. Yeah.
Grammatically,
it sounds
like
Tzivanu l'kadesh. Tzivanu l'kadesh. L'had dikner. Lita. Al It's not. And there's a different one in here where he talks about whether it should be al kadesh Hashem or l'kadesh. Yeah. All right. There's a ton more to talk about over here. We didn't talk at all about actually committing suicide in these situations. That's a different subject. Maybe next time we'll finish up the Gemara because there's some exciting stuff at the end as well. And then we'll basically have learned the entire parak, by the way.